Controversial week for the racing industry, there's no doubt about it. The leading trainer in Australia, Darren Weir, has been suspended and is facing six very serious charges. Legend of the racing industry, the racing media, is Kenny Callender. We thought it'd be good to get his thoughts on the impact to racing and what might happen coming out of this. And it's great to have him on the line this morning. G'day, Ken.
G'day, Jim. How are you going?
Yeah, really well. And appreciate your time, mate. And look, it is an unfortunate situation for the racing industry. We've already had a couple of callers this morning discuss their bewilderment with it and disappointment with it. What was your first thought when the news started to break through about what exactly was transpiring at Darren Weir's Warrnambool and Ballarat stables?
Well, there's been that many rumours in recent times. It probably wasn't totally unexpected. But, mate, racing survived fine. Cotton racing survived. The jockey tapes racing will survive this Darren Weir. Those horses will be gobbled up by other trainers if he's not allowed to train. And if he is allowed to train, well, we'll all get over it. Bart Cummings and Tommy Smith, Bart Cummings did 12 months on the sideline and he survived it, went on to train 12 Melbourne Cup winners. So, mate, racing's resilient and racing will get over it. But people that don't understand think that everything's squeaky clean. Well, mate, any time where there's big money involved, whether it be in business, in sport, have a look at the rugby league. Have a look at the people that come before ICAC. Anytime there's money involved, things can happen.
Morning, Ken. You talk about the resilience of racing, and I think all our codes and all our sports have to face into the storm at some point. What are the implications? We've seen some star horses already go to other trainers. What are the implications leading into the big races?
Yeah, well, the implications are at the moment, Darren Weir was charged with three charges relating to possession of four jiggers or battery-operated devices found at his stable. He was charged with one of engaging in conduct prejudicial to the interests, image and welfare of racing. Now, also, after Friday, stewards charged him with the failure to give evidence at an inquiry and failure to comply with the directions of stewards in that he did not answer questions at that inquiry. Now, that inquiry resumes at 2 o'clock tomorrow. If he fails to answer questions, and he probably did it on legal advice till they decide how they're going to mount their defence.
Mm.
If he fails to give evidence on Monday, I would suggest he'd be stood down from training and not allowed, and the horses have to be dispersed. But that's supposition or conjecture is probably a better word at this stage. I thought it was interesting that Jamie Steer, who's the head of integrity at Racing Victoria, an extremely well-qualified, well-credentialed man, a good bloke with it, former deputy chief steward in Sydney, head steward in Hong Kong, head of integrity in UK racing, and now he's taken up this position in Victoria. Well, he came out quite clearly and said that the stewards assisted police in issuing warrants at the three properties, and that the order that was given the other day that all the horses had to be scratched was an interim order. And at the moment, it was a joint inquiry. The police obviously had more evidence and more information than was available to stewards, and they are only acting at the moment on information they were given. Now, the big thing is, why so many police? Why were the federal police there? Like, to go to a stable and confiscate a couple of jiggers, you only needed Constable Plod or two junior stewards. Why was there such a big police presence? And why, particularly the question I ask, why were the federal police there?
It's a good question too. And the other thing about it is, why has Racing Victoria been led on this? Why have the police led this and not Racing Victoria? Why has Racing New South Wales led the way when they scratched Darren Weir's runners on Thursday and we had to wait till Friday for Racing Victoria to do that?
Well, that was only Racing New South Wales being proactive, and good on them, but there was nothing... We weren't leading Victoria there. Don't get that in your mind. But the fact, Jim, that you said, why were the police leading it, that's a very good question. Was it the implications of fraud over betting? Or was it something else? I think there's a lot more to be played out. The police don't come out and tell you everything they know.
No.
See, there was a big hullabaloo yesterday in Melbourne because the Melbourne Herald Sun had a claim in a story quoting an unnamed trainer, which is always suspect,
yes,
that every trainer would have a jigger in his stable. Well, straight away, the Robbie Griffiths, who's the president of the Australian Trainers Association, he came out saying, what a load of rubbish. Jamie Steer was asked to comment on it. He said, well, if this unnamed trainer would like to ring me, we'll investigate all these claims.
Ken, let's get back to the horses now. So when horses are transferred between trainers and they miss some key runs in the lead up to the Golden Slipper, obviously the horses that were scratched yesterday, how big of an interruption is that to a horse, to the trainers who are taking over and obviously the jockeys that jump on their back?
Look, the horses are still being trained at Weir's properties. They're all due to barrier trial on Monday morning or work. I'd say at the moment there's hardly any interruption, but different trainers have different methods. A lot of people say to me, gee, trainers won't want to get horses off Weir because if he's been doing something tricky, they won't be able to get horses to perform at the same level.
Yeah.
But you'll find trainers will be tripping over themselves to get horses because if you don't get these horses, you get the owners who subsequently buy other horses. Incidentally, for people that are interested, already 9 or 10 horses owned by OTI Racing, including Galo Chop and Mantastic, Night's Watch, they've all been moved from the stable. The Derby winner, Extra Brute, has gone to Kieran Maher. I believe Brave Smash is going to Chris Lees. M for Trite is going to David Hayes. Chris Waller has got Yes, 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 Hulk and Nature Strip. And Trap for Fools, which was Jared McLean's Group 1 winner, has gone to Robert Hickmock. Just a little bit of news.
It's amazing, isn't it? Someone spoke to me during the week and said, look, if you're very tactical and strategic about this, if you're a trainer from Sydney or Brisbane, you could go, right, I'm going to open a stable in Melbourne. You'd pick up 20, 30, 40 horses straight away.
You might, but you'd be... look, I think major implications are with staff.
Yes.
Now, also the city of Ballarat. Imagine how much Darren Weir has put into the economy of the city of Ballarat. Like, there's probably 70 people working there for him.
Yeah.
They're all got to be accommodated. They all eat. They all drink. They entertain themselves in the town. Now, all those people have got to be found new jobs, whether they be vets, stable hands, office workers. There's a lot of implications with a big stable like this.
Mm. The other question that came to mind immediately for me, 2015, the Prince of Penzance wins the Melbourne Cup. The shock win, 100-1 outsider. Michelle Payne becomes the first female jockey to win. And now do we look at that and say, wonder what was going on there?
We sure do. Everyone does. The whole thing is the brush taints everything.
Yeah.
You think, you know, what happened previously? What about the poor devils? I think Tab Limited, your boss, Jimmy, they've put a fortune into sponsoring this Michelle Payne movie. Is it going to be a big seller or we got to change the ending? I don't know.
Yeah.
Darren Weir, incidentally, with the Melbourne Cup, he first came to my attention with a mare called Cheese Archie, which won, ran second to Maccabee Deeb in the first of that great mare's Melbourne Cups, which is 2003. So
yep.
That's 15 years ago. Yeah.
Mate,
a bloke rang earlier when I was listening to the show and said, and he was implying when Gay Waterhouse had a cocaine positive, why wasn't she stood down as Darren Weir has been?
Yes.
Well, mate, you've got to compare... apples with apples and not apples with oranges. There was a small trace of cocaine from a stable employee who'd been drinking at a nearby hotel, not the Doncaster, incidentally, another local hotel. And the stewards investigated all that. It was a minute trace. And even though Gay was heavily fined for not taking care of all that, it was a far different case to the one involving Darren Weir, and that's why she wasn't stood down from training.
I knew there was a difference to it. I appreciate the fact that you did clear that up because the listener did introduce it, and I wasn't 100% across that, but appreciate that, Kenny. Actually, appreciate your time this morning. Always good to hear from you, mate, and thanks for your insights into what's been, a pretty tough week for the racing industry.
Mate, it has been, but when you hear people like James Cummings talk on your show, isn't he a bright young man, and hasn't he been a breath of fresh air? And I laughed when he said that James McDonald will make up his mind between Tassuit and McLaren. It's like making up your mind whether to back the Broncos or the Gold Coast. Tassuit will be the choice.
Very good. Good on you, Ken.
Good on you, boys. Good luck, Phil.
Thanks, Ken. Good on you, mate.
There he is, a legend of racing media, Kenny Callender.
Great insights.
Oh, he's fantastic. Got away with words. And put it in pretty plain text there, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Up against the Broncos or the Titans. That's the decision that confronts James McDonald for the Golden Slipper.